are welcome to worship for all who are gathered here and to all and who are with us online as well. A beautiful Sunday morning, and I should mention, as you all know, this is my last Sunday here, and to tell you again how much we have loved it, have really enjoyed it here, and a regret is that we are leaving you again with a time of uncertainty and variety that for you to figure your way through for these times until the call committee accomplishes their purpose. So, but it is what it is. So with warm feelings for this place and for this town, we will depart. This morning, our service of worship is Chosen People. The booklets are around in the pews. Hope you all have access to one. This is another proof that you're never too old to learn something new. This is the first time I've used this service. A couple of pieces of it were familiar before, but so it'll be a little trial run here. We'll get through it somehow. But setting six was also new for me. So Julie, the worship folks, just keep pressing me, and I do a little learning along the way. One thing to mention in this service, I love it, that the music is just really fun for the most part. But there's one thing that is not only this service, but a couple of others that I'm familiar with, and that is the people who put this together misunderstood one piece of the liturgy. And that is, they put the Kyrie before the declaration of forgiveness. Lord have mercy is the Kyrie. But that does not refer to forgiveness. In the Gospels, when somebody says to Jesus, Lord have mercy, they never are asking for forgiveness. They're asking for something else, as the Kyrie says, for the peace of the world, for the health of the church, for healing, for whatever else. And so, really, it ought to be in the order where you say we confess, then we receive the word of forgiveness, and we say, oh, and by the way, there's some other things we're concerned about for our daily lives, for the world we live in. And so it's not a prayer for forgiveness. So today I'm going to put the words of forgiveness before the Kyrie, then we'll sing the Kyrie, and then go on to the song of praise. That nobody else may ever do it that way. You may just do it straight through. But since I never want to miss an opportunity to do a little bit of teaching, I decided to do that this morning. So Wednesday this week is the men's breakfast, and that will be at Union. And I see in their bulletin it says breakfast will be served. So there will be food provided. You don't have to bring a sack of breakfast for that. So with that, we turn to our service of worship, beginning with the invocation, we are gathered here.
We are gathered here in the name of the Maker. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Maker. Chosen by God's grace, we are gathered here in the name of the Savior. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Savior. Chosen by God's grace, we are gathered here in the name of the Spirit. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Spirit, chosen by God's grace.
And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And
we share a sign of peace at this point in this service, and so peace to all. And then we continue with the spoken confession. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant of time. Sometimes I hate, sometimes I lie, sometimes I waste, sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant of your son. Sometimes I'm selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people.
We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son.
Even though we are in bondage to sin, there is hope for freedom, not by our own doing, but because we are chosen by God to receive the gift of forgiveness. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true. We continue with the Kyrie. Lord,
Oh, let our hands praise the Lord. Oh, let our voices praise the Lord. Oh, let our lives praise the Lord.
We join in the prayer of the day. Gracious Lord, we are a chosen people, but sometimes we don't feel like anyone would choose us. Sometimes we feel our best friends and our families don't even know us. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen to be part of your family, to follow in the footsteps that Jesus walked, and the road will be difficult. Help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit holding us forever in your family. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from the sixth chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. And with two they flew, and one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and with it said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and God of glory thunders. And the Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees, and the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon strip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. In the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The second reading is from the eighth chapter of Romans. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please welcome the gospel with the singing of Listen. Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Poor Nicodemus. He gets into this deep conversation with Jesus and then just kind of left by the side of the road as the gospel reading progresses. Well, that's kind of typical, as you know, of the Gospel of John. There are all these kind of speeches in which the original thing that is being asked kind of gets lost in the, like the people who come to ask, "We would see Jesus," the Greeks. And it goes on and talks about all kind of stuff, but it never says that the Greeks get to see him. That kind of stuff is typical of this gospel. But they're memorable and great theological depth in this gospel and in this story. Notice Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night to be illuminated. And we're reminded that in the very first chapter of John, we hear about the light shining in darkness. And in the original Greek, there are interesting details. Nicodemus comes alone, and yet maybe you noticed as I was reading it, when Jesus says "you," he's really speaking plural, and Jesus says "we believe" and "we." And so it switches from that singular one-to-one to some kind of larger conversation. When Jesus says "you," he's really saying "y'all," you know, it's a plural. Which tips us off that this isn't only about Nicodemus, but about the early church as it relates or is breaking loose from its Jewish roots and synagogue. It's about faith and the working of God, and it is about us, those of us who are gathered here today, because we're reminded of the working of God in the life of individuals and the life of the community, and that is mysterious. That is ambiguous, as potent as it has always been. Think of how often you have heard that phrase that's gotten to be popular in our culture, "born again." And in the reading it says "born from above." A little secret there, and that is the Greek, absolutely same word can be translated either way. And so it's a matter of kind of how are you understanding it when you think about it. Do we think in terms of being born again or being born from above? When Jesus speaks of being born of water and spirit, do we think of the water of the womb or the water of baptism? And when Jesus speaks about the wind blowing where it chooses and compares that to those who are born of the Spirit, poor Nicodemus is totally befuddled. And it kind of makes our minds reel as well. This is Trinity Sunday. Maybe it's appropriate that we have a kind of sense of awe, because if we don't have it, somehow we're not paying attention. It's mysterious. You know, one scholar said the Trinity is not a puzzle to be solved, but a mystery to be adored. That's what this day is about. It invites us to encounter God, to experience God's presence and purpose in our lives and in the life of this community. Or maybe we could just sum it up this way. God is greater than our minds can comprehend. A week or two ago, we had a conversation in our text study group about the work of the Spirit. And one of the members grew up Missouri Synod, and even older than I am. And he made the point that the Spirit is always greater than the church. That the Spirit is out working in the world. The Spirit is loose. And sometimes things happen that are Spirit prompted that are completely out of our control and maybe outside of our understanding. So Jesus, well, think about people for a moment. Think about your children. Sometimes you just kind of are mystified. Huh? Think about your spouse. Sometimes it's like, really? We have those reactions sometimes to one another. How much more is that true of God? And so Jesus uses parables and analogies to help his hearers catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God, and yet even that is not always clear. I grew up hearing that parables were told to make the lesson simple. And as I read the parables, they're kind of like little bombs left along the road. And you read them and you think about them and all at once, oh my goodness, I didn't think of that. And so they really are just kind of constant surprises. God challenged Job, you remember that, where he says, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Have you commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? Or St. Paul says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Well, like the Pharisee Nicodemus, we need to come to terms with the fact that no matter how great our minds, how earnest our search for understanding, God is greater. But that's okay, because it's not about whether we understand, it's about whether we trust, whether we believe in God. All the mind-blowing things that Jesus says to Nicodemus here, it finally comes down to this: God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. The good news is that God loves the world and his people. God loves you and you all with a love that is both profound and passionate. God loves the world and is saving it, even though the world is beset all the time by ignorance and refusal and sin and all kinds of misunderstandings about people in conflict with each other. What God asks is not knowledge, but trust that you are loved of God. In the second reading today, for a moment, Paul makes that point. We are family. The Spirit bestowed on us in baptism folds us into the family of God, giving us the same rights and inheritance as Jesus, our brother. We adopted children have the right to approach God, as Luther said, just as children to a loving father. Earlier this month, we observed Mother's Day. Next month, we observe Father's Day. Think of children learning to speak. Karen was talking about that, trying to get a grandchild to learn the words. They learn that they have the power. They have the power and the privilege to call dad and mom to say dada and nana or mama or whatever. And they come. They respond. And that's just an amazing thing, amazing power that children realize they have. A great gift. I hope all of us have had the blessing of loving parents, but whether or not, we can still come to God saying, Abba, Father. We can call, and in love God hears and answers, because the heart of the story is the love of God. It seems to follow that everything that originates, you know, that connects you, originates from God's side. You don't decide, but God calls. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus to be more diligent in studying Torah or to offer more sacrifices or make more generous offerings. We're not told that the way to see the kingdom of God is to pray more, study more, believe more earnestly. It's God's doing. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Some years ago at a men's retreat, Dr. Don Jewell, who at one time was a professor at Luther Seminary, I'm not sure where he is now, but he lectured on the parable of the sower, the story in which some seed falls on the path and some on rocky ground and some among the weeds and all of that, some on good soil. And he said, it doesn't make much sense for a farmer to say to the dirt, be good dirt. Just doesn't get you very far. The simple fact that is, in some places, faith erupts. In some places, community comes to life. And some places, it doesn't. And it is a mystery beyond our control. What the parable says is that the church is to keep spreading the seed, even as it wrestles with the mysteries of faith and unbelief. It's like that were the words of Jesus. You must be born from above. Jesus didn't say be born in the sense that you're in control of it. What the word convey is this: the ability to see the kingdom of God is something only God can bring about. It's a new birth. And birth, I don't know what kind of chemical signals pass from child to mother in the process of birth, but whatever, it's a pretty passive deal for the child. Being born from above is no more in your control than that. The first reading talks about the mysterious presence of God. You know, the train filled the temple and the angels were flying and all that stuff. But God is also the one who loved the world unconditionally and gave us his Son, whose spirit is like wind that blows where it wills, yet moves within us. This God we know in Jesus of Nazareth. So in these readings, we hear about someone being overwhelmed by the mystery of God, someone else being impressed by the fact of being embraced in the family of God. But for us being born from above, our lives involve both faith and mission. Because God's love is for the world, and not just for us, not just for you. That love needs to be told and shared in as many ways as we can. Isaiah responded to his vision with these words, "Here am I, send me." And Jesus includes all of us in his words to Nicodemus. We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Do we do it? Do we wonder at the mystery? Do we share the treasure? Do we express God's love in the way we live in this world? May the God of all majesty and mystery keep us believing and belonging, keep us active in ministry and mission and in relationship to one another, now and always. Amen. We pause briefly, as always, before we turn to the song.
Part of it all, chosen and called, we
Statement of faith printed in the booklet. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding the sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us to the gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together, and to support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen.
Everybody.
Young and old, the prince and the pauper, everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord. To the lost and the lonely ones, the message is clear. We have all got a gift to give, our hearts, our lives, our tears. Everybody's got something to offer, young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord. To the believers gathered here, the message is true. We have all got a gift to give in all we say and do. Everybody's got something to offer, young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord.
Into the prayers as I understand it with the Spirit intercedes.
The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words.
Let us come before the triune God in prayer. We pray, O God, for your holy church around the world. Revitalize and renew us so that we may be reborn once again through the waters of baptism and the blowing wind of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for your power revealed to us in creation, for cedar and oak trees, for rushing waters, for the echoes of thunder. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations and our leaders, that led by your Spirit, they work towards a world where all of your children enjoy peace. We pray especially for nations currently experiencing war or turmoil. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for healing for all those who suffer, especially victims and survivors of trauma or violence. Give respite to those living with PTSD or any other mental health concerns. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this worshiping community, that the splendor of your majesty and the holiness of your mystery may be glorified through our worship and our relationships with one another. Lord, in your mercy. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through those who seek candidates for our ministry and in the hearts of candidates as well. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, O God, for all those who have died in the faith. We remember all those whose lives have been lost due to the horrors of war. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. We continue with the communion song, Whose Body? Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And we pray as Jesus taught and is printed. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Come to the table, for all is prepared. The body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ. body of Christ given to you. The 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 body of Christ given to you. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen you and give you peace. Go now and live as the chosen people of God.
We can make a difference now.
saves one who's older. We can make a difference. We can make a difference in everything we do. We can make a difference. It's up to me and you. Children of the light, the Spirit shows us how we can make a difference.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for the Lord sending you.
It's been just as best. Just love the good.
Yeah, they might just sister something up and interact in the ER.